Hi, everybody. Thank you for asking me to come and have a talk to you today about our coordination centre. I see you've changed my name. It was Ian on there before. Ian Bett, our Director of Planning, was due to come and speak to you today, but as of yesterday, he was unable to come. So I got a little phone call from him yesterday saying, Helen, need a massive favour. So at short notice, here I am. So they're Ian's slides. Please bear with me. I'll do my best to go through them. And he has said that if you've got any questions, he's happy to take them via email. Just a little bit of background about myself. So my background is I'm a physiotherapist, been a therapy team leader in orthopaedics at the Countess for many years. And I'm currently on secondment with the planning team. I came on this journey about halfway through original implementation as clinical lead for the coordination centre at the Countess. So I'm going to take this opportunity just to talk through the journey, where we've been, where we are currently, and where we're hopefully going with the coordination centre. So the story starts with a patient called Wynne, and we call it Wynne's story. She was a patient who came to the Countess. She'd had a fall at home, and she sustained a broken hip. 97-year-old lady who came to the Countess and ended up staying 106 days with us. During that time, she had, as you can see, 4 incidences of pneumonia. Through the hospital, she was moved wards 15 different times under the care of 5 different consultants, had 11 chest x-rays, lots and lots of blood tests. The list goes on and on. And the hospital looked at this story and were very concerned and upset by what we had done to Wynne unnecessarily. So the question was asked, how many Wynnes are out there? How many Wynnes have we got in our hospital beds right now? And the hospital realised that they had no answer to that, no way of knowing. So taking that question forward, the trust put together our objectives and wanted to look at our operational transparency as a trust. They wanted the Countess to be as transparent as possible, really understanding where our patients are, what they're doing, where they're moving right now, not 12 months ago, 6 months ago, but right now. As well as understanding and having observing where they are, also understanding and having real-time live data. Ian loves this slide, goes everywhere with him, but I think it gives a good idea that, you know, we're all used to sitting and looking at presentations or handouts of our pie charts and looking at our data for the last 12 months, 6 months. But actually, we want to see what's happening now. So, taking that forwards again, teletracking. How many in the room actually have heard of teletracking as a patient flow system, just out of interest? Okay, so quite a few of you. The Countess decided on teletracking as the system. It's a US-based system that really focuses on managing patient movement and patient flow across hospitals. The idea is that no patient should wait for care. It's about getting the right patient in the right bed. They use the model of kind of an air traffic control. So it's about having sight of everything that's going on in front of you on one screen at that time. I think it's quite a useful kind of comparison. So teletracking has many different functions, and the Countess decided to go all in. Let's take everything. So part of the teletracking system, as you can see, this picture just helps you to kind of visualise what we see and encounter on the ward. Over 4,000 sensors were fitted across the building and infrastructure. And around a bed space, you can see at the top, it gives these invisible walls. And what happens is, there's the patient badges, a bit like a Fitbit that's been mentioned so many times today. They wear it around their wrist. And when they cross that virtual wall, it's registered. And it's known that that patient has moved and their current location is understood at all times and is visible everywhere. We've got our staff wearing badges so that if that staff member crosses that virtual wall, we know that that staff member has been to see that patient, understanding the quality of care that our patients are receiving, which is so important. And we know how long they've been there, who it was, The detail is there to see. And we've also got equipment now badged so that our really kind of high value equipment, the badges sitting on those allows us to search for that equipment really quickly. I know as a physio, I've spent many, many hours walking around the wards looking for that piece of walking frame I need. I need that kit. Where is it? Email sent bleeps. Now you can just go onto the system and within 20 seconds, we know where that kit is. So that's really helpful as well. Okay, we've just skipped over the coordination centre. Oh, it's there. So this is our coordination centre. This is our air traffic control. We call it coordination centre because it's not just a teletracking centre. It's not just looking at that one screen of teletracking. You can see we've got them up there. It's a very closely monitored space. As an environment, it's very quiet, it's very calm, and even I don't have access to the room, so it's kind of like, please, can I come in? We've managed to keep it like that. So we can see our live A&E dashboard via click view, so we can see what's going on in A&E. We've also up there, we have got e-rostering at the Countess. I think we were quite slow to come on board with that. And we use that to match our staffing to our acuity of patients. So it's about the dependency of the patient on the ward to fit our staffing to, so that our patients are getting the right care. And this is our teletracking board. I know, it looks a little bit scary. And trust me, I'm a clinician. I'm not tech in any way, shape or form. So it's been an interesting journey for me. But this is what our coordinators now see. And it's their kind of Bible. Just to give you an overview, it shows every single board, every single bed, in the hospital. And all the clean beds will float to the top of the screen. So just in a second, you can see where your beds are. We've also got sign now of our confirmed discharges for the day. Physio hat on. I'm always asked, how many discharges have you got, Helen, on your wards? You know, can you get more people home? So now the red boxes show our confirmed discharges for the day. And we can also see via the blue box, there are pending discharges, our query discharges. So just straight away, wherever you are, you have sight now of where those patient beds will be coming up later on. So it helps for planning flow as well. Hovering over each bed space will give you patient level details. So there is a lot on that screen and you get used to it. We can also access the system and look at a floor plan. So again, just to go over, this gives us sight of where our patients are at ward level, down to the bay, toilet, bathroom. We can see where the staff are on the ward, and we can also see where our mattresses or Baxter pumps are. So if you're not sure, a quick entry into this screen and you can find what you're looking for. We're looking at developing the system, and we've been working hard on it just to also look at what can we do for improving patient safety. And it says at the top, patient and staff alert, but something I've been working on and trialling currently on our four model wards is the patient walkout alarm. So through wearing the badge around their wrist, if a patient leaves the ward unexpectedly without planning, then this alarm and this will come up onto the touchscreen. Every ward now has a large touchscreen that we use as a kind of comms board, so it's replaced those white screens that we used to write on and put the magnets on. This will come up with a noise so the staff know that that patient has left the ward. And certainly two care of the elderly wards and two surgical wards are what we're currently trialling it on. And the feedback from the care of the elderly wards has been very positive. So we're looking at rolling that out in the future across other wards. Something that we've implemented purely from this project has been a bed turnaround team. Some trusts already have a team that clean beds, but certainly at the Countess, we expected our nursing healthcare to do it. So the bed turnaround team, once a patient has been discharged from the ward, their patient badge is cut off and is dropped into a drop box. It looks basically like a post box. There's a sensor that sits within that and it automatically sends a message to the ward touchscreen. And what happens is it converts that bed status from occupied into a dirty status. At the same time, a message is delivered, magically, I don't know how, to the bed turnaround team, and they have an iPod that they receive their notifications through. They'll accept the job and they will then go to that bed space to clean it. So what we're really looking at there is obviously supporting our nursing colleagues, releasing time back to care for patients, and also reducing our bed idle time. So we never knew how long it took before to turn a bed around. Sometimes it could be 8 hours longer, but now we know exactly how long it's taking down to the minute. Once they've finished cleaning the bed space, they'll press complete on their iPod and it automatically sends a message whereby that bed status is now clean. That will obviously come to the top of the screen in the coordination centre, and we know that bed is ready to use for those patients waiting in A&E. So it's not a full service. It says up there 8 till 8 and then we've got a reduced service on the weekend. They're cleaning on average about 60% of all bed cleans, so supporting the nursing staff really nicely, but there's still room for improvement. It says they're on average 190 hours per week at the moment released back to nursing staff. So it's been a great addition, and they're a great team. Porters, they went live first with the portering module, so they were the guinea pigs, really. And they, as you can see, also carry an iPod. Gone are those days of bleeping a porter, off you go because you called somewhere. Has anyone bleeped a porter? Anybody? No. We all know how it goes. Bleeping them again, wasted time and very inefficient. So what we do now is just by the touchscreen, you log in and you can order your porter 10, 15 seconds, and that automatically goes through to their iPod. We've never truly understood how, if someone say, how many jobs do you do a day prior to this, we wouldn't know. We kind of maybe guess or use one of those amazing pie charts. Now we know exactly how much they're doing. So on average, about 700 jobs a day. And their response rate is great. And I know the managers are regularly printing off reports now on the system to say, actually, it wasn't portering system that was delaying that patient move or that patient transfer. They can pull up evidence straight away. So they really are getting on well with the system. I mentioned earlier about idle bedtime. Understanding the journey from when a patient comes into the hospital to getting into that bed. We know the pressures now with our four-hour targets in ED and breaches, and we are struggling with that. So February 8, 2018, it was taking about 4.5 hours to get the patient from a decision to admit along to that patient going into a clean bed. How long it took, that was when we started. Before then, who knew how long it took? But we now know at every single step of that pathway how long it's taking, again, down to the minute. We're improving. It's taking about 2.5 hours. Ian's put on here an efficiency of 5 beds. We've not released 5 beds. We've not saved 5 beds. But what we know is that we would have needed 5 additional beds had we not have had the system in. Room for improvement, absolutely. It's an ongoing, it's still very early days, I feel, with this whole coordination centre project. But we're doing well. Next step as well is focusing on our length of stay. And as well as this focusing on the front door of a patient journey, it also supports us with that back end of the journey, so discharge. I've developed with the ward staff some discharge element of the screen, so we can now identify in one central place our delays. If somebody asked me before as a therapy team leader, Helen, how many patients would you have a month waiting for your flincher beds, because we have a cross-border issue there, I wouldn't have been able to tell you. Now I can go onto the system, print a report, and it shows me. So we're really starting to develop that part of the pathway nicely and using the system to support that. These are our benefits metrics. It looks really busy. I think it's just an understanding that we are now getting data. We're starting to understand it. And this here is that teletracking information. Ian summarised it for you around, all right, idle bedtime is reducing. We're seeing our portering response times improving. And as I said at the very beginning, part of this process is about getting the patient into the right bed at the right time. So our medical outlier bed days have reduced by about 30%. And when he showed me this yesterday, I was nicely surprised, but our non-elective patients, our length of stay is the lowest it's been, so around 6.2 bed days. So we're looking now, it's really working together with the system to see how we can support patient stay and their discharge planning. Nearly there now. When I went through the slides from home yesterday, I was off. I said, Ian, why the Ferrari? Please tell me. Well, Helen, I thought this was a really nice way to explain our journey. We've got a great system. You know, you've got a great car. It's got lots of potential. And we're out the garage. We're on the driveway, but we're not on the road yet. And I went, okay, I'll use it. And I think he's actually quite right. You know, we've got a long way to go with this system. It's early days. Lessons learned so far. It's bringing cultural transparency, certainly operational transparency. Huge support required to the organisation, and that's ongoing. You can imagine this system coming in. You know, when I've done the training on the wards, the look on the face tells me straight away how long I'm going to be there. You know, maybe some of the more mature, experienced staff. Another password. Another username. Please go away. Some of maybe the younger ones. Oh, it's like an app. It's fine. Don't need to show me. So there's a huge kind of variation in response. Interestingly, our site coordinators, we were finding that they did so much more than we ever thought they were doing. It's one of those things, oh yes, I'll do that because I know it'll get done, adds it to the list of jobs. So we really focused on pulling them back in and keeping them in the coordination centre. Actually, learning from that, we pulled them back too much and we lost some communication with the wards. So we're actually looking at improving that. Some like it and some still don't. And that's just the way it is, isn't it? You know, some have really understood and seen, and I think it's seeing the benefits, seeing how quickly patients are getting moved quicker. You buy into it. But there are still some that don't like it. And there's areas that we still need to improve on. There's potential there and we need to work with it. We went live with the system and we called it the first day of winter back in October 2017. And it was like winter had struck today. Monday, great. What do we do? Do we hold it? Do we go? What should we do? We just went with it. We thought there's never a good time now. So it was really, really hard that week. And as I've already said, it's about realising the benefits now. We were second to go live. I think Royal Wolverhampton went live in 2015 with a couple of modules of the system, not all of it. And then UCLH in London went live 2 months after us, just over a year and a half ago. And the three at the bottom came on board, I think, October 2018, just gone. They're the first time now where we've got three sites with one coordination centre in the middle, so like the US model. So it'll be really interesting to see how they get on. I think they're about 45-minute drive from each site, so it's a bit of a leap, and it'll be a bit of a cultural change. But it now fits in nicely with that kind of US model. I think the most they do in the US, one coordination centre, over 16 different hospital sites, managing all those beds across three states. So as I've said, there's lots of potential to explore. And hopefully I've just given you a taster of the system and our journey so far. Thank you very much for your time.